morning, Trailhead Church. Hope everyone's doing fantastic. I know I am. Weather doesn't bother me. I'm from West By God, Virginia. We're used to a little bit of cold, a little bit of weather. That's not a shot on you North Carolinians, but it is, because you guys are like freaking out right now. Oh my God, there's snow! Oh my God! So the story yesterday, my wife and I would go to Food Lion, not because we were trying to get ready for something, but our cashier immediately was like, "You're getting prepared. I'm so proud of you." And I'm like, "We got hot dog buns." Like, "We're doing better than hot dog buns, lady." I'm like, "If we're getting prepared, I'm buying more than hot dog buns." And it was hilarious. So anyway, yeah, let's get right into this. Hey, it's offering time. For all of you that are online, we're so blessed that you are joining us. And for all of you that are in person, we're so glad you're out here. For you that are at home, I did just make fun of you because you're at home right now. But I'm so thankful that you're at home. It's okay. It's safe. And I'm proud of you. So stay safe there, okay? For all of us that are here, though, I'm glad you're here as well. I love seeing faces, new faces, if you're new with us. Please stick around and ask some questions. Go out there and meet some of our greeters. If you have any of those questions, by all means, ask them right now. Don't go home and be like, "I should have done this." Ask. For all of you that are at home, if you have questions, email us, talk to us. Go into the chat little box and chat away, okay? So it's offering time. There's multiple ways to give. You can get prepared to give. There's a preparation with giving. So Paul gives us instructions. It should be regular, sacrificial. It should be cheerful, not out of grudging or out of compulsion. It should be cheerful, excited to give. You know, it brings me into my message today, actually, with in the book of Chronicles, in chapter 29, 1 Chronicles 29. There's this beautiful picture of David preparing the temple. He had been wanting to build the temple, but God told him it wasn't his time to do it. He had his own season of things to prepare for. But in that preparation for his son to take over, he took up a mighty offering. Boy, this offering was crazy. I think at the about when it was finished, it was like a $400 million offering. Tons. I love how David, in verse 3 of chapter 29, he says, "Moreover," and some of your translations will say "moreover," or some of it will say "besides," on top of what was given. And David takes out from his own personal stock of giving, and he takes out tons of gold and tons of silver. I can't fathom that personally, but I love the idea that tonnage was what the weight value was. Tonnage, tons of gold, tons of silver, tons of precious everything. And in that offering he gave, it was more over and besides on top of all of this. You know, that tells you that there are times and seasons where God's just blessing you more over and besides. And in those seasons, you continue to sow seed. You continue to invest into the kingdom of God. Those things that you don't see, to see what God is about to do, and that you're just investing into the kingdom. And so we're so thankful that many of you guys in this room, you have done that. And I'm going to talk a little bit more in my message about all kinds of stuff today. And I'm really excited about this message because of this. I love building the temple, seeing what God's doing and what he's going to do, and being a participant of that. And so for in the beginning right now of receiving the offering, you're a participant. And man, it's an honor to be in that position. So I'm going to pray over the offering. We will receive it. Now, if you are in person, you have checks and cash, then out on your way out today, there are baskets at the door. You can drop it in there. But for you that are online, there's multiple ways. Electronically, it should have came up on the screen for you to follow those safe and secure routes. So I would encourage you to do that. All right. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to get right into my message. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we are a church that is moreover and besides in our position to be able to give, because, Lord, we know who our provider is. Lord, that you have provided in such a way, Lord, that our vats are overflowing, our storehouses are to the max. And so, God, we thank you for this. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that every need within our church is being met, from the small to the tall. And, God, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the midst of us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we can glorify you in everything everything that we do, everything we put our hands to, Lord, that we are laborers, Lord, that we are willing to go and do what you've called us to do. So, Lord, we thank you. We honor you today with this offering, and in Jesus' name we receive it. Amen and amen. All right. Okay, let me just give you some insider stuff. So last week, I love the fact that last week, the first service, we were packed out, right? Because obviously people are like, I want to see what it looks like in there. And now it's like, oh yeah, now the real crowd is here. I'm loving this. When I was a youth pastor, other youth pastors, we would talk about different things about like our youth groups and stuff. And so they were like, how many kids do you have that would just throw stones in the water? And that phrase is that, how many kids do you have that no matter what happens, no matter what you do, they show up. So if you told them you were going down to the river to throw some rocks in the river, they would just show up. And I was like, I got like five of those. And they're like, that's like a good moment of like, who do you have as your core? And I think of like David and his mighty men, obviously Jesus and his disciples, those individuals that are like, I'm there. The upper room crowd I'm talking about, like those ones that are like, yeah, no matter what, I'm there. I'm cool. And so I'm thankful to see some faces out here because today's message is really what that's about. You know, last week's message was great, you know, whatever, you know, it was a cookie cutter type of message. I was talking about the culture of the church, but really what's been laying on my heart is this message, and this is really what I want to talk about, and I'm thrilled. So I got a really cool announcement at the end of this that I'm pumped about to share with all of you, and so that's what I want to talk about. I'm so pumped. Also, for everyone that has that's here today, that visited last week, and that you're watching and you're waiting to come, because whether it's with the COVID vaccine or the comfortability of things, then just know we are in a soft opening season right now, meaning it is soft. Some people, it's super funny because they're like, you don't have this. You need that. You need this. And I love what the 1% sees. The 1% sees the 1% of things that's not here. And I appreciate your detail. But I realize 100% there's a lot of things that we're still doing. It's a soft opening. We are not at the grand opening stage. We just want it out of that theater, all right? We want it in our own space. I wanted to control our own thermostats. I want to be able to do what we wanted to do. This is our home. And so, yeah, we may have rushed it just a little bit, but that's because we wanted in this place and we were allowed. And so why not take advantage of it? So yes, there's plenty of things to do. And we're going to get to those moments. If you know me, I've got all sorts of artwork that I want to make and put up on the walls. I want to do things. And so it's going to take some time. But we're at the soft opening stage. So just give us some grace right now. It could be a little extra pumpy somewhere in some type of speaker system. We don't know what we're doing yet. We have no idea. Johnny on the drums, Eli on the drums, they don't know how loud they're allowed to bang these things just yet. They're still learning. Why? Because we were in a theater where everyone was 2 foot from each other. And so we were like, dial it back. I would sit at the drums sometimes and look at him and go, like, it's not so loud because it was so loud in certain places. We're working on things. You guys know that? It's cool. We get it. There's a lot of little things. Someone came to me and said, hey, the bathroom's broken. Shocker. No butts have sat in there yet. This is the first time butts are sitting in these bathrooms, right? Who knows what's going to happen? It's going to take place. It's a soft opening, people. Soft opening. So bear with us, okay? Some of us are like, it's still really echoing in the sanctuary. I'm glad you noticed. Pray with us, because we would love more sound panels. These sound panels that you see that are on this wall and on the ceiling, you don't see those, but those on the walls that are spread around, you know, we had hired a professional acoustician. Do you guys know that we actually hired an acoustician to design this box? We told them what we wanted to do, and then we told him to design the size of this box, and that's what he did. But he also gave us instruction on buying all these sound panels. Well, we didn't have all that money to buy all those sound panels, so we bought half of them. Do you guys know things cost a lot of money? Some of you don't realize that. You think you know, but you have no idea how much stuff costs. But all of these sound panels and baffles that you see, there's a lot on the walls here in the inside this, in the stage here. But all together, these were about $16,000. Now you're going, oh, this church, they just frivolously spend money. No, we don't. Don't you dare ever say that. Because you know that we did these floors all by ourselves. I'm looking at my man. We did these floors, okay? Trust me, we do everything in-house. Everything that we possibly can, we do in-house. And so if you wanna talk about the echo in this room, start giving. Start giving towards the other $17,000, the other $7 worth of sound panels that we need to purchase. So we cut this in half. We were at a half deal here at this church, half deal. Soft opening. So I'm just telling everybody, we're doing it. We're here. You're warm. You're sitting in your nice comfy seats, right? I was going to buy you guys an even worse seat than what you're sitting in right now. Oh yeah. I went down that road. I even bought an example and had people sit in it. And there's one individual. I said, hey, sit in this seat. What do you think? And they said, chintzy. I was like, wow, that hurt. I didn't know chintzy could ever be a word that hurts. That was a word that hurt, chintzy. And then they said, if you buy these other chairs, I will buy them. I was like, they're going to cost like this amount of money, like $10,000+. And they said, I'll write you a check right now. So someone bought all of these chairs for you, right? Because of the word chintzy. So if you say the word echo, you're in charge of buying all of these sound panels. I like that. When the Word of God becomes the framework of our lives, then we can live with purpose. When you have the Word of God in your life and it becomes the framework of everything you do, then you will actually define and figure out that purpose in your life. And you have got to realize this. It is that important. This Word of God lays out everything you need to take your next best step. I mean, truthfully, this is astounding. When you read this word, it becomes so alive. It is literally living. I can't express it enough, but when you read this Bible, it jumps off the page of whatever circumstance that you're in. Everybody in this room. And it doesn't matter where you are, who you are, what you look like, what's going on in your life. This Bible, when opened, it meets you right where you're at. And God knows the medicine that you need. He has a healing word for you. And I would encourage you to open it up. Our church is based upon this. We want people to have a new life, a life that actually has real purpose. Yesterday, my wife and I were in that food line, and all of a sudden, this person in front of us, for some reason, oh, they were buying alcohol. And so they were asked the question, what's your birthday? And their birthday just happened. And the cashier said, what'd you do on your birthday? You just had it. Happy birthday. And they said, I got high. And the cash register person said, that's right. And I was like, that's right. No. Like, no. They said, that's all I had to do anyway. I didn't have anything else to do. And I was like, no, there's so much more. There's so much more. That's where our acknowledgement of our church, the need of showing people the way of breaking through substance abuse, to break free from all of these things that cause us to escape from reality, that we can grab hold of what God has for us, and we can have a better way. And that's what we're doing. You know, for us, God made you on purpose. He gave you gifts, talents, abilities on purpose. He placed you here on purpose, that you may grow in every way more and more like Christ. And in this, I pray that the body of Christ would grow alongside you. That you are a participant in this, that you, your unique work would help others thrive and abound in this love. You know, God gave you to us and He gave us to you. And that work that you do matters. And we want to show you that work. I want you to put your hands to the plow. I want you to see that there's a ripe harvest amongst us and that we have a better way. And that God's got something for every one of you in this room. And everyone that is watching, I want you to recognize that God has something special and unique for you. We have so many hurting and dying people, so many people that are hurting and they're lost and they're full of angst and they're full of anger and strife and offense and bitterness. And we have the key to breakthrough in their life. We have it. And we've got to learn to share it. We've got to learn that when this moment arises, that when that purpose is found, you're able to stand up and say, here I am. Send me. This is that moment. I have the right words. I have the right way. It's through Jesus Christ. You know, it's not a matter of us yanking somebody by the arm and dragging them to church. It's not wagging our finger in their face. It's just to be the example that you yourself, you're exuding what you've experienced through that love of Jesus Christ, that you yourself have been set free, and people are going to take note of that. Your words will be so soft and receiving that your words will have this power behind them like you've never experienced before. But it's got to come from a place of experience with Jesus Christ. It has to. You have to know what you're doing. So I want to show you guys something. This is one of my favorite places on the planet. I go here. It's becoming more often than I go there, probably like twice a year, which I'm thrilled that I get to visit this place. This is Mount Whitney right here. This is Mount Whitney in California. It's one of my favorite locations. It's in a little town called Lone Pine, California. We love to go out there, and I just love sitting at the base of the mountain, and it's perfect weather always. It's so beautiful, and it's quiet. It's so quiet. I took my children there a few years ago. It didn't stay quiet, but then I don't take them back anymore, and now it's quiet again. But this is one of my favorite locations. And one of the things I love about it is that I've been to the top of that mountain. Now, there's a road that you can take, and it gets you to a particular location, but you are still miles and miles away from the summit. And days, you're days away from the summit. You can make it in one day, but you got to wake up at like 2 in the morning, and then you get back at like late in the afternoon to evening time. There's elevation sickness. There's all sorts of stuff. It's the highest peak in the lower 48 states at 14,505. And it is just beautiful. But what I wanted to show you was something that was beyond amazing for my wife and I. And Tom and Hillary, they hiked it with us as well. And another friends of ours, another couple. But when we got to the back side of the mountain, it wasn't quite what the front side of the mountain looked like. And in that brief moment of confusion, my wife and all of us were standing there, and we're like, oh my goodness, where do we go from here? So I want to show you the back side of this mountain. So there's the back side. Now, for some of you, you look at this and you go, I don't see a trail. How do you get to point, B from A? And I got to tell you, it's actually, there is a trail in that. You don't see it, but there's a trail there. And as you begin to walk, the trail begins to develop, and it just shows itself to you as you walk. And it's really literally a 5-foot type of moment. Every 5 feet, you see the trail. It just churns and changes. And before you know it, you get to the top of the mountain. I'm telling you all this because many of you, you will look at something in your life very similar to this. You'll look at something very far away, and you'll go, that would be nice. But you're not willing to walk it. You're not willing to go to it. But yet there's something yearning and earning inside of you that's saying, you need to go and you need to do this. And some of you are like, I will never hike. I will never. I remember my wife one time, she told me she didn't like bugs. But now she has to. She has to like bugs to get to a certain location at times. There's certain moments that you're sitting here and you go, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing this. And then you go, okay, I'll try or I'll go. And then you step forward. But then you'll get to a location like that with these rocks where you get all confused and you go, it looks too difficult. It's too hard. I don't see the path in front of me. You get nervous, you look at the cliffs on left or right side of you, and you think about death, and you start weighing out the cost of things. It's difficult. It's very difficult for some of us. Here's my plea to you. I've been to the top of that mountain, and I pray as your pastor that I will always continue to get to the top of the mountain to be in the presence of God. I pray that I can lead you to these moments, but my prayer most of all is that you eventually begin to lead others to the top of that mountain. That you have been there before. You know the way. You know the path. That nothing is distraction. You're able to encourage people. Now, I'm not saying drag people. I'm talking about people that want to get to the top of the mountain. Trust me, I've dragged people before. As a college pastor, I used to take kids out to hike the Grand Canyon. And there was many a times I'd be pushing kids. Come on, man, you can do this. And I realized they can't do this. They're going to die. But I want you to move over from this capacity level to a capacity of I want more, and I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to go through it. I want to see it happen. Many years ago, we bought this warehouse. Now, I will not continue to talk about this warehouse every single Sunday, okay? But I have to talk about it today in order to get to my announcement at the end here. But this warehouse was crazy, crazy. The Bardells remember it. We got the keys. We all came in here and we had communion for the first time. We came in here and we had communion in a paint-chipped filled floor. We brought our children in here. I remember Dave going, I don't want to bring my kids in there. And I go, oh, come on, it's going to be okay. And then you see one of the other kids that was there was like playing in all the paint chips. They were like on the ground and like moving them around into piles. My kids were covered in dust and dirt and everything. But, you know, we came in here and we declared it in that moment that, God, you're going to be with us. You're going to help us. But we recognized that we had to make room. There was so many things in this place. So I wanted to show you guys some of these photos. Just a brief. You'll see more of these to come. There I am, jackhammering the wall. I feel like a real man. Those are the windows that are up stairs for the lobby. Those four at the very top. That's me jackhammering those windows out. Me and Tom and Mark, I would jackhammer. They would put the bricks into a bin and out they went. I jackhammered all four windows that day. I got them all out, and my back still feels it to this day. Next photo. So here's, you guys don't recognize this photo, but that beam, the first beam you see is that beam in the very back. The next beam you see is that beam, and then the two after that are gone. And that other beam with that big round, that square box with the round circle in it, that beam is right here. That's where this beam is. Ben knows where it's at. Ben took it out. Ben's the man. And so he took this beam out. And so that's what this room looked like. Go to the next photo. And yes, you guys remember those. Those are textile cores. There was a bunch of us men that cut those up one day. Austin Companion cut up the most out of anyone. So Austin, well done, my friend. Well done, good and faithful servant to the textile cores. And praise God, we have a few of those left. We're going to make them into planters. They're underneath the steps as you go out. Today, you could check them out. They're not trash cans, although I'm sure someone's probably already used them as trash cans. But next photo. So you got a couple guys here. You got Alan walking through. You can see the craziness of it all. That's in the lobby. That's the best thing I can tell you. It's in the lobby. You see all the different just stuff everywhere, the pipes everywhere. It was a lot of work. There was just so much junk, a lot of junk. That's the last photo you guys get to see right now. You will see more of those photos in the future, but I want to give credit where credit's due. Just briefly, I'm going to do a special evening with some of these individuals because, man, I got to tell you, you guys have been amazing. The companions, you guys are pretty awesome. Your dedication to this, the Rogers family, the Browns family, the Regals, the Schmitz, the Knicks, the Halls, all of you guys, the dedication. There's more than just those families that have come in. Andrew Strout, I got to tell you, as a teenager, this kid's a beast. To give him a task that grown men complain about, and he has said nothing. He didn't complain once. It was pretty awesome. The Jasons, I've got a ton of Jasons that have done stuff. A ton of Johns, I've got a lot of Johns that have done stuff. All of you guys, it's been phenomenal. Carrie and Alan, they came in at the right time. They came in and helped with these floors. And then my sidekick. I couldn't have done anything without Tom. Tom is always my sidekick in crime. He has been here since day one, moving and changing and handing things to me. And, hey, will you help me? I'm the guy on the ladder. He's the guy down at the bottom. So it's always like, hey, Tom. And when I drop stuff, he's always there to pick it up. Praise God for Tom. But I got to tell you, Tom and I, before all of this started, Tom and I used to walk through here and pray. Man, did we pray. We would walk these halls and we would pray and pray and pray. And we would ask God to supply things and to show us what we needed to do. And it was just tremendous. You know, David in Chronicles, he's and in Kings as well, in both books there, Second Kings, First Chronicles. You see that David wanted to build the temple. And in going to that process of talking to God, God slowed him up and said, hey, it's not your season. It's not your season to build this. It's going to be your son. Your son's going to do this. But in the preparation of it all, David began to prepare. He received that offering that I talked about, which was just tremendous. And I'm so thankful for these examples that we have to be led by. But, you know, during Solomon's reign, the first 4 years of his reign, it was set in preparation. It was set up where that he was preparing all the different items that they needed and getting the laborers prepared. I mean, laborers like 80,000, 76,000, and 3,600 foremen. He was preparing what was happening. He was sending out letters to other individuals. Hey, we're going to need this from you. We need that. We need some lumber. We need these things. It's tremendous to watch all of this. Now, if we skipped ahead, you'll see that Solomon begins a process here. And this is where I want us to write this down. And it's the word of dedication. Dedication. And he began to dedicate the building, the temple to God. And that's our process, is that we're beginning this process of dedication, that this is his house, that this is no longer a house where men are making goods for themselves, but this is a house where God can show up. God then can begin to do what he needs to do in our lives. You know, it gets really confusing at times, but you know, God doesn't need you. He wants you. He wants you. And I think that gets rid of that whole idea that we've got to labor. We've got to labor for God. It's not a laboring for his grace. It's a free gift. His salvation is a free gift. We get to be in his presence, and that's so beautiful to be a participant of. But I love what Solomon says in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 41 through 42. Says, "Now arise, Lord God, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests, Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your faithful people rejoice in your goodness. Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promised to David, your servant." He is dedicating the temple. This is fantastic. This is something we want you to get prepared for, that we're going to dedicate this house. Not just yet. We're at the soft opening stages. But we're in a preparation that we want to dedicate this house to him. This is his place. This is where he can come in and he can reign. That he can come in and he is welcomed. That we're walking into his house. This is really important to know our posture. But there's some things that's got to take place. And through his word of God, we recognize the word separation. Dedication is separation. Separation is holiness. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 21, it says, "In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purpose, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work." I want us to begin to separate ourselves. To separate. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, "For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." And this is important. "Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty." He is calling us out to be separated. Do you guys know that we're different? Thank you, Anna. Do you guys recognize that you are different? That you should recognize that, and you should be okay with that. You know, we shouldn't look like this world. We shouldn't participate in the same way that this world participates in. That we need to be separate. You need to be funny. You need to be unique. You need to be separate. You don't need to go to the same things that the world goes to. You've been set apart. If you are separating yourself from those things, you are preparing yourself for the things of God. That God doesn't want you to participate in those things of this world, but to be separate from those things. In those things of this world, but to defining what is clean and unclean, be a part of this. I don't want those things coming in my eyeballs and in my ears, because what comes in those avenues will come out from right here. We've got to be careful of the things that we're listening to, the things that we're participating in. God wants to separate you from this stuff because he's got a noble purpose for you. The moment that you acknowledge this is the moment your life will change forever. And you're not going to want to go back to this lifestyle. That you're going to want to have a renewed mindset. That you're going to want to participate in the things of God every single day. You recognize what's good, what's holy, what's pleasing. You begin to worship him in spirit and in truth. This is a good moment for you. Now here comes this great word. Dedication is also consecration. Now many of you guys in this room will say consecration is similar to holiness. But it's actually about how it's kept. I don't know if Stephen has yet to explain this to the worship team, but I will explain it to the worship team right now. I told my wife and I told some of the staff guys, I said, I don't want this house to be tainted with secular things. I told Stephen, I said, I want this stage to never have secular music on it. That this is his house. This is set apart for him and him alone. The things of God. Now some people say, well, are you going to have weddings in there? Absolutely, that's a thing of God. God allows weddings right here. We can have weddings, yes. But I don't want secular music played in this house. Some of you say, what are you? You church camp from the 80s? You burning some CDs? Yes, I am. This is a house of the Lord. If I've declared it as his and it's his, I'm setting what's clean and unclean. Some of you are like, oh, come on. I like a little Coldplay. I am not crucifying you for your secular music choices unless you listen to country, Katie. But what I am telling you is that this house has been set apart for the things of God. So I don't need any of the guitarists in the background doing a free bird solo. I don't need any of that in this house. There's no room for it. His presence alone is good enough. I want his anointing in this place. Hey, I had to break some things. I'm a singer. Little phrases people will say, all of a sudden I'll start singing, I'll whistle. I know all kinds of crazy old songs. I know them all for some reason. And ever so often I catch myself, no, I'm not doing that in this house. I'm not going to sing these songs. I'm not going to whistle these songs. It won't be played in this house. This is his house. It has been consecrated. It's how it's kept. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, it says, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Some of you in this room, you have watched so much Harry Potter and so much broomsticks and bedknobs that you don't understand that the fire of God is real. Some of you think it's hokey pokey type of stuff. Oh, them are them weird, that's that weird church over there. They believe in fire. No, I believe in the power of God. And we need to wake up that there's a real fire, a real power of God, that there are a real spiritual giftings that are out there, and they're apparent to this day. There is a realness to this, and so many times we get distracted and we think, nah. There is a fire that came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings. Guys, let me say something to you. The burnt offerings, once this took place, the priests began to make more offerings. It was like 20,000 bulls. I mean, they were sacrificing massive amounts of sacrifices of all sorts for God. Nothing was too much. It went on for days. They were worshiping God for days. We're like, hurry up, Pastor. You're reaching your limit. Like, we have such a moment of like, oh my God, I've heard people complain about how many songs we've sang. Gosh, Stephen's full of himself. Stephen's not full of himself. He's full of the power of God, and he just wants to keep singing about it. That's one of those moments. I love when people get to the 1%. They're like, yeah, there's that one thing. Ben and I talked about the 1% this past week. That's why I keep talking about it. People want to see the 1% thing. They want to get skeptical, microscopic. They want to look at all the details. All right, guys, I want you to be set free from this worldly mentality of time. We're going to heaven someday. Hillary's going, a few others. You're going to heaven someday, and you've got to recognize that time doesn't matter. Time has no realm on what we're doing. When it comes to a sacrifice, when it comes to the things of God, we get so narrow-minded. Burnt offerings, sacrifice, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. There's no more room. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down, the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good. His love endures forever. They were in awe of this moment. This leads me to the next word I want you to write down. Invitation. Dedication, separation, consecration, invitation. Dedication is an invitation. When God sees our dedication, He receives it as an invitation to move in, to do His will and purpose. He will fill it, and with His glory, He will fill this space. You know, we are separating it for His use. We're saying, we're inviting you, and for your purpose alone, no one else's purpose, no one's hidden agendas, no one's idea of what, oh, I think you could do this in here. You know, I got to correct myself. I used to say that. I used to say, oh yeah, I love it. We're going to let people like use this space in the community. Now I'm starting to think not so much. This is His house. He will use this space. This is His place. Here's what I'm asking us to do as a church. I want our bodies as a temple. As Paul tells the Corinth church that as the temple, that we should be doing the same thing in this temple as He would in this temple. That what we're doing in this temple is the same that He's going to do in this temple. And that we come together with so much preparation, with so much dedication, with separation, with a consecration for an invitation, that it's going to be magnificent. That we are a church that's willing to say, God, here I am. I open up the door for you to move in this temple. That God, I want to experience what you have to experience. But God, I want to be a part of whatever you're doing. That God, I know, Lord, I know your love, your heart, that I want to align it with you, my own heart with your heart. We've got to make these preparations for our dedication. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I read 20 and 21, but I want to read verses 22. It says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, what's happening in this world right now is pretty crazy. I mean, I think we all admit, this is really weird. Didn't think this was going to happen. And all of these moments of separation, the enemy's trying to divide us and to separate us. God is not going to stand for it. For those that are willing to go to him, he's going to bring us together. And you know, for some of us, we may say, oh, it looks really bleak out there, or this looks really weird, and oh my gosh, and you get so consumed with what's happening. I think you need to separate yourselves from those things, the things that are confusing. I mean, ask yourself, is this confusing? Do you have all the knowledge of this? And you easily say, no, I don't. Separate from that. Say, God, I want to focus in on your presence, on your faith. I want to see you. You know, I want to be a friend of God. Now, those moments you see with Abraham and Moses and Elijah, I know that God's doing something, and I want to be a part of that. But in 2 Timothy 2:20, verse 22, it says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I don't want the things that are happening out there to drive you to do things that are unclean, but to do things that are clean, that are anointed, that you're falling on your face and you're being the experienced Christian that God's called you to be. Many people get this mixed up with salvation. I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation is a free gift. I'm talking about now being a Christian, that you are an instrument for noble purpose, set apart from the things of this world, that you can take people to the mountaintop, that you've been there before and you know how to get there. And that even though you'll hear the murmuring and the bleakness of things, whoa, I don't know what I'm going, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't have the right tools and the right equipment. You'll be like, no, I got it for you, I'll take you there. I've been there before, I'll take you there again. Don't worry, it's just right around the corner. I got all the catchphrases for everyone to realize that I can get you there. A lot of people get weary. And I said, oh, we've got a mile and a half. Don't worry. And then another mile and a half goes by. We got another mile and a half. Don't worry. There's a distance of things at times. But God will pull you through it. God will take you to that mountaintop. And when you get there, you can rest in him. You can relax. You can say, man, this was worth it. I'll tell you what. When you get to that place, when you recognize the separation, when you recognize that moment of preparation, consecration, you realize that you've become that invitation for him to move in your life like never before. Like never before. And this is where, you know, the earth is so full of so much uncertainty right now. But I want you to take a moment and imagine what our lives and our families, our church could look like if we all made this decision today to know and to experience God in a deeper, more powerful way than we ever have before. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 through 16, when Solomon finished the temple of the Lord, as well as the royal palace, he completed everything he had planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. Then one night, the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. But then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open, my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and set apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. So, I want us as a church, the worship team, come on, guys. I want us as a church to begin that preparation. It's important. It's so, so important. You know, we've been in a giving campaign for a few years, and we called it the Journey Home, and we got in this place, and now we're here, right? Praise God. Some of you guys completed that, and I'm so thankful that you did. And some of you are still working on it, and that's fantastic. At any moment, there's no obligation to continue to give. There are still things we want to do in this house. As I pointed out, more sound baffles. We want to finish the offices in the back. We want to finish the youth space at the top, the adult classrooms over here. There's so many more things that we want to continue to do because we want to make room for the things of God. And so my encouragement for all of you guys that have made those sacrifices is to wake up to that acknowledgement to go, man, it was worth it. And God's going to do something magnificent in this place. That God is already doing those magnificent things. So here's my announcement. Our grand opening date's here. So we're going to have a blowout of a party. And I mean a party, meaning just like they did with Solomon and all those priests and worshipers. But on June the 6th, we thought that'd be a good cushiony date. But June the 6th, mark your calendars. We're gonna have our grand opening service. We're gonna dedicate this house. And I'm praying that we ourselves, our house, our temple here, that we're preparing ourselves for that moment to give all the glory to Him. And as God responds to Solomon in those prayers, is that I pray that my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. Guys, in this place, this is His house. And He's going to hear our prayers. And fire is going to come down. Our loved ones are going to be saved. Our friends will be saved. Our coworkers will be saved. I believe this is a house of restoration. This is a place for salvation. This is a place where people will no longer want to live in a way, Lord, that is contradictory to what God had planned for them from the very beginning. I pray that you guys grab hold of this as well, that you run with this. But this will be His house, that we will dedicate His house. There's been so much sacrifice that has gone on in this house. Ben and Caroline have sacrificed a tremendous amount to make this your house. The Schmidts, Mark Schmidt, has done a ton to make this house his house. The Roses have done so much. The Regals have done so much to make this His house. It's important that we don't see this just fall short, but that we grab those torches that have been lit and we continue to run with this, that we are running to the altar to light that sacrifice, to see a move like we've never seen before. I was at a restaurant this past week. I don't recognize me as a, when I leave this stage, I don't look at myself as a pastor. I'm just Josh. I don't think of myself in that manner at times. And so I've gone to a restaurant or two and they'll recognize me even with a mask on. And they don't even go to our church. And they'll say, I love what you're doing at that warehouse. And I kind of look up and I go, oh, our church. Yeah. Oh yeah. And they go, man, I love what you guys are doing on the outside. And I love the next phrase I always say, and you guys need to say this as well, is, oh, you should see what's happening on the inside. Oh, man, you should come visit what's on the inside. And you know, for them, they think I'm talking about this, the walls. But metaphorically, I'm like, no, I'm talking about the inside, what God's doing. Oh, man, it's tremendous. I want us to wake up to what God can do on the inside. There's been so much sacrifice that has taken place. The Gresham family. Let me throw my, this is not a pride moment. The Gresham family, the Engel family. I always leave the staff guys out. But the Engle family, the McKnight family, the Davis family, the DeBlaycourt family, the Cheek family, all of us, the Hagedorn family, everybody who's been a part of this has been tremendous. I mean, I put Jeff out on a skyjack hanging outside the windows to paint the window top before they put in the windows, and he just looks at me with this gasping, "I can't believe you're gonna put me on a lift hanging out the windows to paint this." And I just looked at him with confidence and I said, "And? Like, I know you can do this. Everybody's done some crazy things in this building. I've seen it all. I've seen Daniel do some crazy things. I've seen it all. I've seen everybody do some crazy things in this building. But you know what? Those are natural things. But we're about to see the supernatural things. It's going to be tremendous. But it's going to take us to repent, to consecrate ourselves, to bring ourselves to a place of holy within His presence. So I want us to stand to our feet right now. For you that are watching from home, you can stand to your feet as well. I'm going to ask the altar care workers to come down front. If you don't know who Jesus is in your life and you want to make Him your Lord and personal Savior, during this time, I want you to step forward and come out from your seat, and our altar care workers want to pray with you. They want to pray the prayer of salvation. I would encourage you to do this. This is the best thing you can do. It's going to change the atmosphere everywhere you go. That dark gloominess, the head down, the posture of slumped over, that's going to change. You'll say, if you use the words, "I don't know how this is going to work. I don't see a way. Oh, this always happens to me." This is those phrases that you need to get saved. Salvation is right here. So I'm going to ask that you just step out of your row and come down and seek His face. For the rest of us in this room, I want us to begin that step of preparation. In the next coming months, we're going to have moments where I'm going to ask the congregation to fast. I'm going to teach on fasting. I'm going to teach on prayer. We're going to teach on how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife, how to be a good father, how to be a good mother, a good friend. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff to get ourselves prepared for this dedication. June the 6th, I want you to mark that on your calendars. For you that are home, I'm so blessed you've been watching. Continue to worship with us. If you don't know who Jesus is in your life and you're making this decision, please let us know by typing in the little chat box out to the side, or you can email us at info@trailhead.church. We would love to pray with you, talk with you about anything you have, any questions. So for us, let's continue to worship. Let's continue to pray, all right? So let's do that right now.